Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 17, Episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For February 8th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. with O'Brien on my money and my money on O'Brien. We do this every day about the same time. Biatch! That is courtesy of Chapman Rice. Wow. And I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
That's right, because I'm Miles like a bird. I always fly a gray.
Thank you so much for that one. That is from Elon Musk Bagano. That is clearly your display name, so we're just going to leave it at that, at N-E, high, whatever, bro. Thank you for that, AK. It was fire. Also, shouts to my UK crew. Shout-outs to the London Mandem and the London Yaldem. Appreciate all the listens and the support coming out from across the pond.
Sure. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian Casey Lai.
Hello. I don't have a song. I feel bad about not having a song.
Well, let's make one for you.
Okay. I am Casey Lai. I am Casey Lai. I am Casey Lai.
Casey Lai. Casey Lai. Casey Lai. Casey Lai.
I don't know what song that is. La da 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 da. Oh, Be My Lover.
La Bouche.
La Bouche.
Uh-huh, yay. Gonna be Casey Lai.
Boom.
Casey, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of things in there that just I can't bring onto the internet. I found myself rabbit-holing in a way that got me to the Flintstones movie starring John Goodman and Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
I had Googled Barney Rubble in drag.
Mm-hmm.
And because I write for these drag queens every once in a while. My life is very drag queen oriented these days. I don't want to say which ones because I'm doing.
Oh, you don't want to put them out there that they got ghostwriters?
Well, yeah.
People from Drag Race?
Yeah. No. Okay. Wait, people from drag queens?
Drag Race.
Oh, no, not directly.
Okay.
But
I'm just trying to see the levels. You know, there's levels.
I'm doing a show where a bunch of those queens are on it, and I'm writing for some people. But and it's like a roast kind of thing. So I was, and one of them kind of looks like a caveman in drag.
Ooh.
And so I was trying to find a picture of Barney Rubble, and I was actually spot on. There is a picture of Barney Rubble in a dress because all cartoon characters of a certain era at one point ended up cross-dressing.
Yeah.
Right. And seducing a man. Usually.
And seducing a man, you know, and the man gets angry and then someone gets murdered. They were very dark.
Right.
The cartoons were very
dark. Storylines.
So that then led me to the B-52's theme song, their cover version of the Flintstones theme, which
is dope.
Is it?
Yeah, it's super funky. It's super B-52s. You hear it and then you're just like, oh, they should. They were destined to remake this song at some point.
And is it sort of aesthetically similar, thematically, or melodically similar to the original one? Of like,
yeah, it's just funkier, baby. Yeah, it's
and
just
it's Fred,
like,
baby. Yeah,
it's Fred,
baby.
Yeah, it's like we're in Flintstone land. Yeah, and it's just Kate Pearson crushing it. Yeah, Bedrock. That's what it is. It's just it's all very much Flintstone.
But I like the idea that he calls Bedrock Flintstone land.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the stone,
it says 15 miles to Flintstones land. And?
Yeah, but most people don't know. Boys Don't Cry, based on a Flintstones episode.
Wait, really?
No. Oh.
that's funny.
So what's something you think is underrated?
Well, I could go in a couple of directions this way. One thing that I think is underrated is, I just want to talk about it because no one ever really talks about it anymore, and it's the Pet Shop Boys. Mm-hmm. They're my favorite band of all time. And I don't think that they get the credit that they deserve for kind of bringing electronic pop to the masses in a way that is now consumed by everyone.
Yeah.
You know, they were kind of looked over, I think, a lot. So I will say, it hasn't been necessarily established necessarily by my words, but perhaps by like my voice and train of thought. I am a homosexual man. And so I find myself very much interested in acts that have been kind of overtly gay. Started out not hiding anything, but how like in the 80s, like no one really, you couldn't really like talk about it, but you could like, push it out there.
Right.
In aesthetics or in, coded language. And so they did that, but also it's just, everyone knows West End Girls, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you might have heard like, Always on My Mind or some of these other songs, but a day doesn't go by that I listen to like three or four Pet Shop Boys songs, and they put out a new album every 3 years and it's relevant. Mm. It's like Chris Lowe, who is their beats maker, is like probably just like in a club in Ibiza 6 months out of the year.
Right.
And he's just like absorbing what the new sounds are and he's putting them out. And then like, Neil Tennant is their lyricist and he's basically like a Truman Capote-esque level like commentator on the world and society. And so every couple of years there's an amazing new Pet Shop Boys album. And show me a band that's been around for fucking 30 years crushing it every 3 years.
People's Orchestra of North Korea.
That is it. They are, but state funded.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
I mean,
that's
come
true.
On.
Yeah. They're cheating.
They have
cheating.
An advantage.
Now there's a country that appreciates the arts.
Right. Yeah. Militantly. They're like, oh, yeah. All of their artists are also part of the military, too, because that's their contribution their duty to the country is to use your art to spread propaganda. Did they ever do a dubstep style thing? If you're saying they always, did they ever get caught by that?
No, but they are very much, open to their songs being remixed by like cutting edge artists. So
right.
Dubstep is not something I've ever heard. I don't think anyone should hear dubstep anymore.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's like I was home with my grandmother over the holidays and like a commercial came on with a dubstep soundtrack. And I was just like, a 93-year-old woman should never hear dubstep.
Right.
She's wobbly enough. They haven't, but they put out like pretty like intense dance versions of some of their remixes. I'm just saying, kids out there, you should go check out the Pet Shop Boys and you might be pleasantly surprised.
You might learn something
at what you hear.
What is something you think is overrated?
When I was thinking about this beforehand, I was thinking that this is something that I don't really care about and it's off brand for me to talk about, but I've been hearing it a lot, and it's hating Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's overrated.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Go on.
Because greatness is something that doesn't come around a lot. I'm not even a sports fan.
Holy shit. Okay, go on.
I'm not even a sports fan. And sure, he lost, which might be his final Super Bowl. But all of the, like, he's a cheater and a loser and a Trump supporter. Look, he is a big meat stick who's like incredible at what he does for years longer than he should be.
Right.
And oh, he deflated a ball for like a couple of games at one point. That I'm sure, I don't follow sports. Here's a question to you guys. Do you guys follow sports?
Yes.
Are you allowed to dope in football? Is that why there's never been a doping scandal in football? Is because everyone just is allowed to do it? Because why Gronkowski? You know what I mean?
Like how does
can
that
be
exist?
A thing?
Yeah, it's just they're really bad at testing for it, I think. Or not bad,
because
intentionally
they want it
bad.
To happen.
Yeah, intentionally bad at testing for it.
And so you have this person who is just head and shoulders seemingly above everyone throughout history, and you hate and people hate him.
Yeah.
Why do you hate Tom? Why does one hate Tom Brady?
I think some people they I guess can't separate the athletics from the athlete.
You know, right.
And is he a bad person?
Yeah, I mean, he's got some pretty interesting takes on the world.
The world.
He had a MAGA hat.
He's a big Trump
dude. Sure,
in
the beginning, I remember
that. He's
not
a big Trump dude, though.
Right.
He's not openly, like, still standing for Trump. So he, like, got tangentially connected to Trump a couple times, like, has had his picture taken with Trump, presumably before, like, before he came out and called all Mexicans rapists and stuff.
Right. Tom Brady didn't do that.
Right. Tom Brady, yeah, he did not do that.
Yeah.
I'm personally a Patriots fan. I did not tell you that ahead of time.
I
did not ask you to stand up
for
Tom Brady.
Where are you from?
I went to high school in Boston.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, used to go to games back when Drew Bledsoe was their quarterback, and they were not very good.
I am from Rhode Island, and I am not a Patriots fan, but I'm more not a sports fan necessarily.
Right,
and
right.
That's not like any criticism of anything. I just have my own pastimes, and I do like watching like one baseball game a year, and it's usually like Game 7 of the World Series,
the ones
or
that matter,
like the Super Bowl and something like that. But I can also like I appreciate it from a cultural standpoint, and I appreciate Tom Brady from a cultural standpoint. And I just think it's like hating Tom Brady for these ulterior things just is like bandwagoning. That's why I think it's overrated,
because
it's going to come down to history. It's not like he's like Mike Pence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's not like out there Paul Ryan-y supporting everything that this guy does. You
right.
know, oh, he who dare not have his name spoken.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's right. Right.
Today
about
is
too, that. Trump,
today
Trump
is free Thursday.
Free Thursday. That's the only time we hear that name.
Right.
But I just,
other than when I said it earlier.
Yeah.
I just think it's important to let Tom know that he has fans in the gay community.
And he is undeniably great.
Yeah.
He's done things with the human body that haven't been done. Like what he's doing, the amount of decisions that have to be made and like transmitted into athletic activity, like in a sheer like split second is incredible. Like most quarterbacks can't do it beyond the age of like the upper 30s, and he's still doing it.
I agree.
What do you think about Kobe, though?
What do I think about Kobe? I think he, you know...
Can you respect his gangster?
Yeah. I respect his work ethic. I respect, you know... I think his game was, you know...
Modeled after Jordan. Just Jordan ripoff. All right, all right.
But...
just trying to see if you're going to, you know, be that... Be so diplomatic, because I know you don't like Kobe.
Yeah, but Tom Brady didn't have a Me Too moment.
Right,
yet,
exactly.
You know?
Yet.
Yeah.
That we know of. So, yeah, that's a great overrated. I love it. All right, we're trying to take a sample of what people are thinking and talking about right now in this country and sometimes around the world. And on Thursdays, we do not speak of he who shall not be named. And yeah, we like to open things up by asking our guest what a myth is. What is something that people believe that they know to be incorrect?
Okay. That Los Angeles weather is great.
Mm-hmm.
I see it more of like, it's like 80 degrees in February right now.
Right.
And sure, that sounds great if you're up in like, I don't know, Fargo or like, you know, stuck up in Maine or somewhere, you know.
Right.
Sounds nice. You don't want to be in that. But my allergies are out of control. So my allergies shouldn't be out of control in February because everything is blooming.
Right.
One, so that's like super nauseous. Two, you never get a chance to just like sit inside and brood, you know, because the sun is always looking through the window being like, oh, you didn't write enough today, did you, loser? Come on out and have a hike and waste more time.
Right.
You know, like that kind of thing. And then also it just kind of feels like the calm before the storm, and the storm is just like no water, no rain, all dust, like the Interstellar, like what's happening then. You know, it kind of feels like that part right before a tsunami where you're on a beach and the water starts to go out and you're like, what is happening? This is amazing.
Yeah,
I've never seen anything like this before.
Let's go collect all those fish that are just flopping around right there.
I just gotta steal that boat. You just drag it to the beach. And then all of a sudden, everyone and hundreds of thousands of people are dead.
Right.
And that's just kind of what LA weather feels to me. I lived in San Francisco for years and everyone's like, oh, it's so chilly and foggy. That's the weather for me.
Me too. See, you know? I'm from LA. I'm a Valley scumbag of the earth.
I can tell.
Thank you so much.
Just that layer around you.
Just my scum aura. And I grew up wanting to always wear jackets, and I never could.
Right.
And they were like luxury items to me. Because I'm already wearing fucking t-shirts, and I was feeling so good like the last month because I could wear a hoodie.
Yep.
And now I have to like sweat it out in public, being like, no, I'm going to wear this hoodie.
Right.
But, yeah, I just like variation, you know, and like,
thank you.
Too much of a good thing is a bad thing
to
me. And I understand when people come out, like when they're like, well, you haven't had a Minnesota winter or whatever. You know, I would like to know.
Yeah.
At the very least. And I would love to. I'm not saying that's the best thing, but variation does help you feel a little less insane.
Well, because, sorry.
Yeah.
It helps you appreciate like a long winter. I went to school in like barren wasteland in New Hampshire for 4 years, and those winters are brutal, but then that spring comes around and you are just like,
so happy.
You're so happy, you know? And like, and sure. You know, I say that now and I go back into that winter and I'd be like, oh, I got to get out of here. But, I don't know. I'm just saying move back. I moved down here from San Francisco to pursue my dreams. And, I just feel like everyone talks about the weather being the reason they come down here.
Right.
And then, you know, and then it rains one day and they complain.
Yeah. Right. No, even people cannot deal with the
rain.
They
can't. Here. It's crazy. It's like
any weather.
People will like come up to you if like the rain is putting out the forest fire that's about to engulf your house.
Right.
And be like, I didn't move here for this. Right. You know, I moved away from this weather.
Like, people drive slower when it's windy. Like that's how bad they are at dealing with the
weather all high
out here. Yeah, that's too.
True.
Yeah. I do. I miss the fall. I miss the spring. And even though a lot of the time the temperature here is what it would be in the fall or the spring in other places, it's just like there's something about like that changeover that is really magical everywhere else in the world and not in LA.
And 80 degrees in February means 107 degrees in August. And that's just what terrifies
me.
Yeah.
And I'm also a very sweaty person.
Me too.
And it is.
We all sweat up in here. We have recording shirts we wear just to record in. We sweat them shits out. Then when y'all see the photo that goes up on Twitter and Instagram, that's a whole other shirt we put on.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny.
You know what I mean? We drive in a shirt. We have a driving shirt.
I have
shirt.
My driving shirt. Yep.
Yeah. I have that.
Okay. Especially so when I lived in the Valley and I had a fucking busted Honda Prelude with the air conditioning that didn't work. And I would go to like UCB class. I remember one time someone was like, you're really sweaty. Like, and fucked my head up. So I had like shirts on deck in the fucking car because I was not showing up to be the dude who looked like he did too much cocaine before the improv class.
I can remember like driving to parties in high school with the air conditioner on full blast and like trying to like seal my shirt sleeves up to the air conditioner to try and
to
get
be
like
one of those like
cold air
inflatable like dancing machines in front of a used car lot
because my pits were just out of control.
Well, we've learned a lot.
Hey, speaking of out of control, let's get an update on that Quincy Jones interview that we talked about yesterday. By the way, Miles, bravo.
Just doing the Lord's work.
Emmy worthy performance.
I know everybody's like, do the whole interview.
Maybe we should release that.
Maybe that'll be an evergreen thing.
For people who didn't listen to yesterday's episode,
just stop now.
Stop now.
Listen
go back
to that.
And listen to the.
Then come back.
At least the last 20, 25 minutes of yesterday's episode, where we went through some of the excerpts from the Quincy Jones interview, and we left you, dear listener. We were talking about the part where he says that Marlon Brando would fuck anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
He would fuck a mailbox, and then he says Marvin Gaye, Richard Pryor, James Baldwin, he fucked everything that moved. And we couldn't tell if he was saying that also Marvin Gaye, Richard Pryor, and James Baldwin also fucked everything that moved. It was unclear in, based on the sentence construction. And then, like, the second we, locked the episode, Richard Pryor's widow came out and was like, oh yeah, no, he fucked Richard Pryor. Yeah. Marlon Brando fucked Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor and Marlon Brando fucked for sure. So all the crazy shit that Quincy Jones was saying is like now just being confirmed.
Wait, just so you know, that her quote about when they asked her is wild, because they say, she's like, it was the 70s. Drugs were still good, especially Quaaludes. If you did enough cocaine, you'd fuck a radiator and send it flowers in the morning.
What?
So, yo, I was born in the wrong fucking time, because now when they catch me fucking a mailbox, I'm a fucking felon.
You're great.
Okay. I'm a PC 290. Okay. Okay. But yeah, so
what a quote.
It just makes you think. And also, T-Pain had to also confirm something too, because they asked Quincy Jones, like, what was like a failure or something. And he's like, man, I did this tribute album and like these rappers wanted to do like covers of songs I already did. And he's like, yeah, T-Pain really fucked his part up. And then T-Pain had to come out and be like, yeah, the thing was, like, my managers pushed me into covering Pretty Young Thing by Michael Jackson, and I kept telling them I should not do this. Like, I'm very uncomfortable trying to cover a really legendary Michael Jackson track. And he's like, but they forced me. He's like, I knew it was bullshit. I recorded it. It sounded like shit. Then the album came out, and it sounded even worse. And he's like, and I don't know why Quincy Jones didn't fucking just scrap it or, like, tell me, yo, this is fucked up. So that's another person who had to feel the ripple effects of this interview. But it just makes you wonder, what else was he right about? Because if he's spot on with this other shit.
We're just forced to assume everything he said was correct.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't heard Ivanka Trump.
Yeah, one out of one.
She hasn't denied anything.
Yeah, I could believe everything that he said. I mean, we all know that Kennedy was killed by someone more than just Lee Harvey Oswald. We know that fact.
Right.
But it's just it's like, oh, he sounds like a crazy old man, but because he's old, we're assuming he's like
crazy
old
right.
man. Really, he's just got nothing to lose and he doesn't give a fuck, so he's just saying whatever he wants to say.
Yeah.
I find it super interesting. I also love, I mean, one, like, Richard Pryor talked about having sex with men, so that wasn't like a big shocker. And also, everyone knows Marlon Brando had sex with men too. I love that it was Marvin Gaye, James Baldwin, and Richard Pryor,
right?
Because it's like, oh, he only fucked black guys,
right?
all really high quality intellectual, top of their field. Black
guys. Yeah, exactly.
No schlubs in there.
No schlubs. Yeah.
It's like he was with fucking, you know, JJ. You know, from What's Happening.
Right. You know what I mean? The question is,
who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
We do know it was the 70s, though, right? So it was 70s era
Brando.
So 70s Brando. It was like Godfather Brando, not...
Island of Dr. Moreau, and not... it's Goldilocks Brando, because it's too hot when he's on the waterfront, streetcar
named Desire.
Just
too hot. Right.
You couldn't touch that. You just can't touch that. It's so hot.
Mailboxes were trying to fuck him.
Yeah. He was the radiator, actually. Yeah, he was emanating so much heat. And then it just became, you know, and then at the end it was basically Orson Welles. So like they got him in that sweet spot, you know.
Do you guys know the story from Island of Dr. Moreau where he was wearing this ice bucket from his hotel on his head the whole time?
Oh my God.
And they were like, why are you doing that? And he was like, no, trust me, this is he also brought that little person with him, the smallest man in the world, and just insisted that he be in every shot with him. And then so after wearing this ice bucket on his hat, he went to the director and was like, I have an idea for how we end the movie. So you know how this movie is about like half human, half animal hybrids. At the very end of the movie, I take the hat off and I have a dolphin spout on the top of my head.
Like a blowhole?
Blows. Yeah, I have a blowhole and it blows water out. And that's the twist, which would have been the funniest fucking ending to a movie ever.
At that point, they should have just tagged it on, because that movie was about as ridiculous as that to begin with.
Right. Oh my God.
So he's like a whale the whole time.
I mean, just at the end.
Good for you. Rock that. Rock that ice bucket. Ice bucket challenge, the originator right there.
Oh my God. But yeah, I mean, the Quincy Jones is entitled to say whatever he wants. And I just love that Vulture was like a vulture, just ready to
pick apart
this like old ass guy. He's like, I don't know if he's dying, but I'm going to pick apart this carcass of like crazy lines.
Right. And what's great is like you could tell the interview wasn't, it didn't even seem like his goal was to pull a bunch of shit out of him. Quincy just laid that shit on him constantly.
The first question was like, what was great about Michael? What? Tell us something we don't know about Michael
fucking
Jackson.
Thief. Like, exactly. And, and I could just see the interviewer just being like, oh boy, this is going to be different. Just game face.
Yeah, man. Fucking stole everything anyway. Yeah, I got rich though.
I know.
What's your sign?
Yeah.
What's your sign, man?
You like Zanku chicken?
Oh my God.
What? That's so funny.
All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
And we're back. And we have an update on Benghazi. We have a couple updates, actually. So Kate Upton has accused the co-founder and former CEO of Guess Jeans, Paul Marciano.
Yeah, just groping her and trying to kiss her and grabbed her breasts and was like, oh, I'm making sure they're real. Saying shit like that.
Yeah, like she walked into a shoot and he just came at her, like made a beeline at her.
Like with the
photographer.
Grabbed
her boobs and just started like playing with them. And she was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He's like, I got to make sure these are real.
And then was like, I think fired her from a shoot and was saying like, oh, she's a fat pig. This dude is fucking wild. Anyway, so.
And when you look at him, he just looks like an old white guy. It's a shocker. But yeah, he's just like a white haired, old white man
creep.
Nick Carter, his rape accuser, has filed a police report and the police are investigating, so you know that is becoming real. And so is the Scott Baio accusation from Nicole Eggert. She went to police yesterday and filed a report and brought a witness who, corroborated that they saw inappropriate touching at the time on the set of Charles in Charge. So those are going down. Those things are happening and progressing. Tomorrow.
I think it's just time to give all men a timeout.
Yeah.
For a while. Mm-hmm. Like, every man in power, you've abused it. We know that.
Yeah.
Let's give women a shot. They're not going to run everything for a while unless they do a really good job. Then they can be in charge and we can just hang out and fuck each other or whatever. Just like leave the women to do their thing until they want the sex with us. Consensually.
Someone needs to do the thing where it's like, yeah, man, see, like, you can't have nice things now. You
have
powers, now you can't have anymore.
Right.
You done fucked it up.
Seriously. It's in the gay community, too. But it's just crazy how, like, all... Just don't hold your heroes, like Scott Baio, close. Because
God,
who knows what's going to happen.
Those poor saps who were like, man, Scott Baio was a fucking icon for me, man.
It's interesting. It's in the... public media is experiencing a lot of people going, like, losing jobs and being thrown out because of accusations. And that's a different kind of trust. I mean, it's like Charles in Charge and fucking the Guess Jeans guy. Like, you know, if you're a straight man in fashion, you've definitely done something terrible.
Right.
Like, it's just like that's – and, like, if you're Scott Baio, like, if you have, like, a conservative mindset and you're a narcissist and you have a lot of money and you come from entertainment, you've definitely done terrible things too.
Yeah.
But it's like when you hear, like, Garrison Keillor or, like, this guy Tom Ashby.
I know.
Like people that you just have like implicitly come to trust, you know,
That's
when the more betrayal of trust seems like
it's more vivid.
That's when it hurts. And that's when it becomes a thing. But like, again, Nick Carter, you know,
I mean, I don't spend too much time on it. Yeah.
You know, I'm more concerned about Aaron Carter
and
his mental health.
Mm. He's not on meth.
He's not.
let's talk Spirit Airlines, you guys, because they're
talk what?
Spirit Airlines.
Oh,
whoa.
I'm triggered.
Because we, super producer Anna Hosnier brought a terrifying story to us from the realms of Spirit Airlines, the netherworld,
of
Spirit Airlines. When you just walk on there, it's just like logic turns upside down and just like terrible shit starts to happen.
It actually costs an extra $2 to look at their website.
Right. They had a young woman who was on Spirit Airlines who brought a hamster with her as her emotional support pet. I'm not a huge believer in certain emotional support pets. Like I think dogs, sure, but a hamster, you know, if it was working for her, it was working for her. But rather than being like, all right, you have to keep that like under wraps or whatever, they made her apparently flush the hamster down the toilet.
And honestly, that's probably a better experience than riding on Spirit Air.
Right. Yeah. The hamster was like, thank you.
This is dope.
Right.
I mean, well, that's the thing is, yes, this woman, she called twice and was like, yo, I have an emotional support hamster. Can I bring Pebbles on board? And they said twice, yes. Then she pulled up and they're like, nah, fam, you can't bring that rat on here. And I guess she alleges that they said, well, why don't you just flush it down the toilet because you can't bring that shit on? And she tried to call a friend to pick it up. Spirit Airlines, their statement was obviously was like, we made the mistake by clearly someone told her she could bring it on when they couldn't because that's not our policies. But they're like, but they really deny that they said anyone suggested to flush it down the toilet.
I can't imagine there was some like, let me get my manager. And the manager's like, well, you have two options. You know, I think like I could have maybe someone like was offhandedly like, I don't know, just fucking flush it down the toilet. You know, like but I just cannot imagine that that's what they did.
Yeah.
But I do love like her being like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And then being like, well, that's the Spirit.
exactly.
And or she refused to call it a spirit animal.
Right.
And so that's why she wasn't allowed
emotional
to have
support
it on. Emotional.
Right.
So she was like, no, like,
because
it's emotional
TSA,
support.
TSA does allow them, that technically can be considered an emotional support animal. But man, I just don't like flying with people when they bring emotional support pets. My girlfriend, we have a dog, and she's like, she likes to bring it with us on airplanes. I'm like, so my Japanese side does not want to make a scene or like cause inconveniences. So like when the dog's like barking, I'm like, oh God, don't just. And we brought in the airport. It took a mad shit in the airport.
Yeah.
It was a moment. The dog literally started arching his back to shit. I lifted him up and bare hand caught the shit before it got all over the airport floor. And then I just slam dunked it in the toilet or in the garbage can and walked embarrassedly into the bathroom while a bunch of people looked at it. Yeah. So I don't know. They stressed me out.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's me.
I feel like you need to know your dog is going to be able to handle it. Because I've been on a couple of flights recently where I've seen some chill-ass motherfucking dogs that can just handle it. And you gotta know that. Maybe just like load them up with some CBD edibles before they like get on and like chill out their anxiety. But like my dog would not be able to handle my dog. Even though she's like a little girl who likes to be around me, like she would just be so like – Just hyper aware of everything that's going on. It wouldn't be the best.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Shout out to
forced to choose between people who bring emotional support, animals on flights, and Spirit Airlines. There's like, that's a tough... Super Bowl
Shame anybody who actually animal provides support, because I get that.
Yeah.
You know what? Fuck Spirit Airlines. That's where that goes.
Yeah,
their seats are rigid. They charge you for everything.
I just feel like there's more to this story than they asked me to flush it.
Oh, yeah.
The
point that they must have got to, because I'm kind of with you. I'm sure someone did say that, but it was after like 20 minutes of straight like, no, you don't fucking get it.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Goes, why don't you flush it down the toilet?
Yeah.
What?
That is a suggestion?
I'm calling the Miami Herald.
Yeah.
But the fact that she did it. Is little.
Did she do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She flushed the fucking thing down the toilet.
I guess the option was, right? She did try and have, I think, Andrew, you were saying someone, she did try to call a friend, right, to come pick it up, but they were hours away. So there was no way for her to make her flight and hand off Pebbles to somebody. So.
I can't imagine she was like heading to some like insanely important meeting. Like she doesn't sound like she's the type of girl who had that thing to get to. It's like take the, be like, I'll give up my seat for, you know, someone. I don't know. If it was really her fucking support animal, she wouldn't be so quick to flush it down a toilet.
She's like, I don't have time. Yeah. I'm closing a land deal for the Rio Tinto Mining Company.
I'm cured.
All right. Let's, on Thursdays, we like to go through Google Trends, see what is trending out there, see if there's any stories that catch our eye. And these are a couple things that jumped out at me. So Cornell University and Zeta Beta Tau are in the news because they had something called a pig roast, which...
Oh, they fed the community?
Yeah. No, actually, this pig roast is when a bunch of frat boys... compete to have sex with the largest woman that they can find, and the person who has sex with the largest woman is the winner of the pig roast.
Man, dude, frats are fucking bullshit, dude.
Frats are fucking bullshit.
Frats are fucking bullshit.
And I have met a number of people from Cornell that this seems completely in line with their general vibe.
Of Cornell, what, being just awful people?
Yeah, like when Andy from The Office was like, yeah, I went to Cornell and like kept bringing it up, like, that's about right.
I feel like any Ivy League school.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that's coming from someone who went to one. I'm just kidding. I mean, I did. But but Cornell is super fratty and it's super isolated. Ithaca is like a city, but it's in it. So like frats always turn into like the worst thing in the world. Yeah. I mean, I made it my goal to just like fuck the fattest frat guy every year in college.
And there were no awards back then.
There were no awards. And the rules were in this pig roast, you can't tell anyone. And let me tell you, I told everyone.
Pretty legendary frats at Dartmouth, huh?
The frats at Dartmouth are ridiculous. That's also because we're like insanely isolated. We were in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And like, and so, and there was, you know, like only like 4,000 kids. So like everything was very focused around social life was very focused around the frats. So it was, like awful.
You guys
isn't that what Animal House is based on?
Yeah.
People's experience at Dartmouth.
Yeah. So isolated, you start looking at the old man on the mountain, and you're like, I would fuck that.
I would.
He's got a charm.
Yeah,
he's
a charm to that.
Didn't the old man on the mountain fall apart?
Yeah, he fell down.
Man.
He used to look like John Kerry.
Shout out to you. When I played hockey, I played pretty competitive hockey. We used to go to New Hampshire a lot, and that was the first time I was like, what the fuck is the old man on the mountain? And then we looked at it, and I was like, all right.
Yeah, it was like, no, it kind
of the profile of a face, but you know when you're 10 years old, you're not really impressed
whatever.
By either.
No, yeah. Totally. Like video games.
You're like, give me my Tyco fucking Police Academy game.
We were getting some hate for or getting accused of Tesla hate. And, you know, I do think Elon Musk has a sort of P.T. Barnum vibe and might be a little bit full of shit. He also does great things. And they're in the news. Let's see why. Oh, for fucking up big time. Uh-huh. They have posted a $619 million loss in Q4. And their Tesla Model 3, which was supposed to drop late last year, is now being pushed to June. So, he's too busy launching cars into space.
And didn't that fuck up too?
Yeah.
They overshot Mars's, but you know, it will not, go into the asteroid belt. That was something that was being rumored. People were picturing it like having to dodge asteroids and shit. But that
won't
happen.
What's gonna happen?
I don't know. It's just not going to orbit Mars.
We're just going to fucking pollute some planet.
More fucking space trash.
Yeah. Will it hit another? It's not going to hit another planet, will it?
That's the thing about like the asteroid belt. We picture it like that scene in Star Wars where they're having to like dodge asteroids and shit. Asteroid belts, like, they're millions of miles between each asteroid. Like,
right.
Yeah, like,
no, but
space
I'm saying,
is huge.
Is it conceivable that it could, like, enter Jupiter's atmosphere or something like that?
I don't think so. It's just so, space is so big and planets are so small.
It's going to get caught up in some gravity of something and then get pulled into an orbit, right?
And some asshole alien is going to have a free Tesla.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, at some point it's going to run out of battery. Where it can't get that far. You're going to get stuck halfway up to 5.
Groundhog Day 2018 was
still
a trending
thing.
I was looking at overall trends from the past, like, 3 weeks. But that was, like, one of the biggest trending stories. Is this a thing that... Like, I guess it's a thing people talk about. Is that a thing you guys pay attention to? Whether the groundhog sees its shadow?
I feel like it was in my youth. It's one of those things where I completely forgot it was Groundhog's Day. And so I remember looking at it like a couple of days ago.
Right.
Because I was like, right, Groundhog's Day. What did he? Did he see a shadow? Not that it matters or anything like that.
I thought Punxsutawney Phil became obsolete after science. But hey,
back
I don't
when
know.
We learned about science. Yeah.
I don't, yeah, I guess, and again, in California, that is, we don't have seasons, so we could give a fuck.
Yeah, so maybe I'm just out of the loop. Maybe
I'm sure
the East Coast is still all about that.
They must.
Yeah.
I mean, that search traffic is coming from somewhere. Yeah.
If you're buried in snow for like six
That's
months,
true.
4 months in a row, you're like, can a groundhog at least give me some relief?
It's just desperation at this point.
Listen to their big rodent.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's son was still a trending story. Cheddar Man. Let's talk Cheddar Man.
Wait, hold on. But Tom Brady's son.
I'm very interested in this.
Okay. I kissed my father in the mouth growing up.
Mm-hmm. I still do.
The Katy Perry song.
Your father. He's a good kisser.
Yeah, he's a great kisser. but like, so that was seeing so many people being like, whoa, why is he kissing his son on the mouth? Which to me is like, yo, fuck out of here with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Settle down, guys.
And then there are people pointing out that like in one of the clips, he's kissing his son for a long time. Now, can we as society say there is a limit to like, when does it get weird?
First of all, it was just a little weird that he was getting a massage and having and his shirt off and all that stuff. But also, it's the Brady household. A lot of crazy things happen, I would imagine.
Right.
One. Two, the implication is somehow it's a weird sex relationship.
Right.
And Tom Brady's a pedophile. And as a result, like, you can't see affection between a dad and a son and not think of some sort of, like, terrifying thing. And that is a major issue. And three, the son kissed Tom. He didn't, like, lean in. Like, he was, like, laying down, and it was like they just had a thing. Yeah. It wasn't like
– And he rolled his eyes like his dad was like, hey, did you take out the trash? And he was like, oh, all right.
Fine. This is why I love Tom Brady. He seems like a nice dad.
Yeah, he does. He loves his son very
clearly. And he kisses his dad, too.
Right.
So it's like a tradition.
Just fucking
back the fuck up, bro.
The Bradys are just into kissing each other.
Right.
Yeah.
At least you're showing your fucking kid affection, bro. I know too many men who grew up with their dads being like, no,
fuck you, faggot.
I'll fucking shake your hand.
Yeah. That kid's going to grow up to be a well-adjusted millionaire.
Right. Yeah.
That inherited wealth, though. Yeah. What's your secret, man? Kissing my dad?
Kissing my dad.
And just inheriting his money. But yes.
I had to suck his dick for that. Sorry. I could see you Xing that one out.
No. We keep it live.
Cheddar Man, black skin, blue eyes, was the first Briton, first dude in Britain. This is causing news for some reason, I guess, because white supremacists in America are like, Europe. Like Anglo-Saxon.
Right.
And Anglo is English, and that means like the white race comes from England, and England is a place of pure whiteness, and this proves, you know, race is a social construct. It has no basis in
biology
yeah. or, genetics. It's just a thing that racists made up at a certain point to justify something that was convenient for them.
Yeah, because people like, you know, Richard Spencer, they're like, oh, Europeans, Europe, like, you know,
right,
the U.S.
Yeah.
should be a homeland for all white people, all Europeans. And now to know a cheddar man out here with the wavy hair and the dark skin,
yeah.
with his edges laid,
right?
You know, he's out here.
How do you get the name Cheddar Man?
Because that's where they found him in Cheddar,
oh, okay.
I believe. The region in England is from there.
So,
yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm learning something. That's interesting.
It'd be funny if it was just like a dumbass name, like, well, that's fucking Cheddar Man over here.
it sounds a little like stereotypy.
Could be a rapper too. Yeah.
Cheddar Bob from 8 Mile, you know? Yeah. So
yeah, yeah. Pelosi is trending, and that is because she broke a record for the longest speech in the House yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of a filibuster, but she stayed on one topic. It wasn't like a filibuster where they read the yellow pages.
Technically you can't filibuster in the House.
Right.
But there is, yeah, but
the
there is a
ability to give 8-hour speeches.
Yeah, you can talk as long as you want.
One for every inch of heel that she was wearing.
Yeah, every
right?
article
Two,
is like,
four
and
inch
she
heels.
Did it in 4-inch stilettos.
Walking right. backwards.
How right. does she do
yeah.
it?
Because
she's fierce, bitch.
Yeah.
That's why. Now, move out the way.
Well, everyone knows women can just go on and on and on
right.
and on. So it's not that. But what was she? It was she was talking about dreamers?
Yeah, she was reading right. letters from dreamers, stories about dreamers. She was reading Bible verses.
So where are we with this, Miles? You were explaining it to me today.
Well, so, you know, her whole reason was doing this is because she outright just does not like the deal that McConnell and Schumer uh-huh. put together, because it does nothing to address immigration and nothing to address the situation of these kids.
And Schumer's okay with that because he has gotten a guarantee from McConnell that he is going to bring to a vote.
Week long, they'll have open debate on immigration, and they can do this the right way, not behind closed doors. Let's come
that has been guaranteed in the
that's
Senate.
What McConnell has said. Again, that's what he said. You know, he also told Susan Collins a bunch of shit and didn't give it to her. So
right.
we'll see. And so what Pelosi wants is the same thing from Paul Ryan.
And she's not getting
And she's not getting it. Although today he did say, like, do not, you know, doubt my conviction to fixing this DACA problem.
Right.
That's not the same of saying, like, openly promising that, yes, if this – or if even the Senate passes something, that they'll bring that to a vote in the House. Because the Hastert rule, majority of the majority has to agree to bring something to the floor like that. So – yeah, she's just trying to be like, look, we need the same thing over here in the House, because nothing will work unless both chambers, you know, put something forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that's her whole point, was like, you know, trying to get Paul Ryan to do that. Now, this speech was great, and it's obviously she broke the record for the longest continuous speech.
And we're going to play it for you right now.
Yeah, and here we go.
Unexcerted.
Live riffing. Yeah. 8 hours.
You know, actually, I'm just going to read it back in my Quincy Jones voice.
Yes.
But they, yeah, so again, it was a great moment. It's monumental. But, you know, a lot of very progressive activists and, you know, and even people that are more on the very liberal end of the Democratic Party are just like, dude, this isn't going to mean shit if nothing happens.
Right.
And that's the thing that really needs to happen, is that we really need to make sure that this is addressed, and not just like, you know, Paul Ryan saying, like, don't doubt my commitment to this. Then you need to come say, yes, I agree to do the same thing that McConnell does. We can openly discuss this on the floor and come to some kind of
right.
bipartisan
we need
agreement.
Something. Apparently, Paul Ryan is worried about a veto from one of the branches of government that we're not talking about on today's episode. So the fact that that branch has not come down with a clear position is sort of confusing and gumming up the works a little
bit.
Well,
it's also a fucking excuse, though, too. Like,
right.
you know, you can say that, but you could also show some leadership and,
yeah.
you know.
Leader
anyway.
What?
I'm not going to try and do anything. You
yeah.
know, like,
right.
Well, mom's already not going to go for it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So shut up.
Shut up, Paul.
Yeah. He's going to go down in history as one of the great appeasers to evil. And it's
oh, yeah.
going to be very interesting.
Everybody.
To me. So nuts. The world is so on a cusp. But hey, we're having fun.
All right. For some reason, the Spice Girls are trending. I don't really know. Maybe they're having
it's because they're about to go back on tour.
Yeah. Okay.
All
they're about to go back
them.
On tour.
Yeah.
Wow.
With no new music.
Wow.
And they've teamed. Okay. Oh, wow. That was not enthusiastic. Because Spice World, man, I fucking saw that shit in the theater.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Man.
Anyway, I was going to say a really obscure memory from my childhood, which no one is invested in, so I will leave that there.
But all look great. Like, all the pictures
they
of
all
them,
look,
they
great.
Look great.
I'm
Hell
surprised.
Yeah, yeah, good for
I
them.
I mean, not that I'm surprised, but, like, yo, they're
Spice women.
Yeah.
all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I never thought I'd take my 3 young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery. But that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey And we're back, and we are looking forward to the Olympics opening ceremonies tomorrow or today, depending on when you listen to this. They're on Friday. And the lead of the delegation going to the Olympics from America is Vice President Mike Pence. That's right. We didn't say it was a Pence-free Thursday. It is Mike Pence, who... So this is a little bit of a strange choice because this is the first time that the U.S. Olympic team has had openly gay team members on it. And Mike Pence has a history of, you know, promoting gay conversion therapy and being like too homophobic for the state of Indiana, which is, you know, that is an accomplishment. So, you know, we talked before about how he and Adam Rippon were he had reached out to him to try and have a conversation and
chill, bro.
Right.
Yeah. What's chill, bro? I'm not that bad, bro. Hug it out.
You just gotta meet me. Yeah, don't listen to like. Don't listen to my. Don't look at those articles about how I'm like. Don't fund. You know, people who are trying to teach people about the spread of HIV. You know, it's crazy. Because, yeah, this all stems from the fact that this article came out in 2016 from Pence's, like, a campaign website in 2000 that it proposed that resources for federal HIV and AIDS programs should not be given to, quote, organizations that celebrate and encourage the types of behaviors that facilitate the spreading of the HIV virus.
Right.
But should actually be directed instead to, quote, toward those institutions which provide assistance to those seeking to change their sexual behavior, read gay conversion fucking therapy, which has been debunked over and over and over again.
I want to change it to have more sex with men. I am always appalled by Mike Pence. Mike Pence is really what got me into trouble with like the extended conservative family that I have about these elections, because I was like, I don't even care about this other guy. Mm-hmm. He's terrible, sure, but like, behind it is all of this like evilness too. I think it's bullshit that he's leading the delegation just because he's such a divisive figure. Yeah. But I guess, I mean, unfortunately, he's also, you know, the vice president. It should have been Melania leading the delegation.
Right.
Well, because
seriously,
Michelle Obama did it last time.
Yeah.
She should just get out, go to South Korea. She's fierce as fuck.
All
the gays would be like, I don't care. I love you. You're a trapped bitch. We get it. Closets are real, you know? And like, you know, Mike Pence, he's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, he tried to walk it back. So after that, like, we talked about this yesterday. Adam Rippon was like, I don't think Mike Pence is a good choice. And he said that someone reached out from Pence's camp to try and talk to him, and then the Pence people were like denying it. Then yesterday, later, his chief of staff was like, "Yeah, no, we did inquire about a meetup." And then today, he's even like adding him on Twitter, because clearly, I think we found Mike Pence's trigger is getting called out on his homophobia.
Sure.
Because before that, I don't remember a single time really talking about this dude. And then he was like at 80 rep at his hand, was like, I want you to know we are for you, fully capped. Don't let fake news distract you. I'm proud of you and all of our great athletes. And my only hope for you and all of hashtag Team USA is to bring home the gold. Go get them.
That's Mike Pence saying that.
Yeah, that's his tweet.
That was his tweet to try and smooth it over, I guess.
I think, if you follow Adam on Twitter or Instagram, you will recognize that he is like a total hot twink, and so that's probably what Mike Pence is into. That's why he's following him. And two, it is a little strange to me that Adam Rippon, who is like I don't know if he's the alternate on the figure skating team, but he's not expected to medal,
right?
Is kind of the person who is getting all of this attention, and sure, it's because he's one of two out openly gay people, but it seems like we're trying to make a giant issue out of something where it was completely his fair right to say, I don't fuck with Mike Pence,
right?
Because Mike Pence doesn't fuck with us.
Right.
But to make it, I would be happier if there were straight athletes coming out in solidarity with Adam Rippon and Gus Kenworthy, who is the other,
freestyle skier. Yeah.
Who's probably going to win.
Babe. Yeah.
He's probably going to win a medal, right?
He's a meddling stud.
Yeah.
gay meddling stud. And, but instead, like, you know, we don't hear, I don't know, Lindsey Vonn, or I don't know, her politics might be weird, but you know, we don't hear other athletes coming out in support of this.
Right, and it's just an isolated incident. Yeah,
not only do they have to be the first openly gay, which is nuts because Johnny Weir, we talked about this already, Brian Boitano, but not only do they have the pressure of being the first openly gay athletes on the American team, they also now have this pressure of like being in a political fight, you know? And so it does go to those, it's like anyone who assumes like being gay is like easy peasy these days, like being gay is a very politically charged thing in this day and age. And so like, you know, no matter how private you guys want us to keep it, by just like being, it becomes political too.
Right.
So it's just like, it's crazy. I feel for those guys, and I hope
Yeah,
it would be good to see more athletes like, you know, just pull up for their teammates and be like, I also agree this man's politics is not jive with ours. And
but then they get sucked into the media storm,
exactly.
You know, and
like,
they're just trying to win medals. And I get it from both sides. That's why I'm just like, just let this just go. Just like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, Mike Pence is going to do it. America is fucked up in so many ways. It's not like us leading, us having like a homophobe march us into the stadium is like the biggest problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's
we
the
just
drones
had a pedophile who run for Senate.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
like,
yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. I already find Winter Olympic events like so nerve wracking to watch for the most part, like skiers and figure skaters, because I'm always worried that they're going to fall. Like,
Well, now, you would not like the opening of
pressure.
Molly's game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cause like her backstory is like she's like a mogul skier. And then like she just, it's
just wipes out.
Yeah. I can deal with like seeing people fall, but it's compound fractures that you can't not see I get really like worried about.
Yeah. You're like, skiing and stuff. Yeah. The ski boot does not look like that normally on someone's foot.
All right. And finally, we're going to try something out called Throwback Thursday. We're kind of taking this from Culture Kings. They did a look back at the year 2003, I believe, one of their recent episodes. And we wanted to take a look back 20 years at 1998, just because that was the year we were talking about around the office. And it is a really good year, musically and movie-wise. Aquemini, which is one of my maybe top three albums of all time, Outkast album, came out that year. Just an incredible album.
Oh, yeah.
Every cut is amazing.
Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Miles, you wrote down Korn Follow the Leader
because
you were in middle school at this
angry
time.
Angry ass middle school. Singing, wow. Got the life. God hates me.
And then movie wise.
Lutheran school, baby.
Movie wise, at the time, the movies that were like nominated for Oscars were Saving Private Ryan, Thin Red Line, and Shakespeare in Love, which,
I loved it when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing wrong. Yeah. But I just didn't understand how the best director didn't make the best picture of the year. I don't know.
Out of.
What are you going to do?
But also coming out that year that I think have kind of gained, in my esteem at least, Out of Sight is one of my favorite movies.
Oh,
really?
It's a great movie.
I love Out of Sight.
I just like the Zippo work.
Yeah, the Zippo work is dope.
I was fucking with Zippo. My mom got real mad.
Chemistry is pretty palpable.
That's Clooney and J-Lo.
Clooney and J-Lo.
That's good. That's a good movie.
Yeah, that is a good movie.
Yeah.
American History X, Armageddon, Truman Show, all not nominated, but movies that I think people really remember.
Big Lebowski.
Lebowski came out that year. Damn.
Godzilla.
That is the only movie I've ever watched out of. I've ever walked out of.
You walked out of Godzilla?
Yeah, that movie sucked, man.
You gonna disrespect me like that in Japanese culture?
It wasn't even didn't even take place in Japan.
Yeah, but that
took place in New York.
The source material, man.
Truman Show actually was such a. It's one of my favorite sort of zeitgeisty things to talk about because it it produced a mental illness, sort of,
really?
Or it predicted one. Because following the release of that movie, they started seeing all these cases of what they eventually just called the Truman Show delusion, where people would come in reporting that they believed that they were part of a reality show and everybody around them was actors. And, wrote it up in the literature. Somebody went to New York because he believed the 9/11 attacks were fabricated, and he wanted to go see the Twin Towers to prove it to him. And, so it like so either predicted the zeitgeist or just, you know, was like reacting to something
just
or
deep,
created,
deep
like got deep into the zeitgeist that, it was like,
oh, everything is revolving around me.
Exactly.
That's the world that has been pushing on it. I was I was gonna say that, also the Unabomber's views on the world were underrated at the beginning of the show because of the way technology has pushed and alienated us from our humanity in a lot of ways.
We all need a little Ted Kaczynski. We all just need a little shack in the woods, you know, just get our minds right.
Just a tiny house.
Yeah, and write our anti-government manifestos in peace.
Tiny house.
On a typewriter.
Big phone that you can't type on.
Casey Lai, it has been a pleasure having you, man.
You guys are great. Thank you so much for having me.
Where can people find you and follow you and all that stuff?
You can find me on the Twitter at KCWLEY. My last name is Lai. Spelled L-E-Y, so on Twitter, K-C-W-L-E-Y, Insta, K-C-L-I, L-E-Y. And then check out my podcast. It's called The Gay Power Half Hour. I did it with drag queen extraordinaire Tony Soto and me. You can find us on SoundCloud or iTunes, Gay Power Half Hour. Thank you all.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And also, if you want to know where all the music that I suggest and we've suggested on the show, where you can find that, I have put together a Spotify playlist for you to enjoy. It's a public playlist. Just search the Daily Zeitgeist, and it should have our logo on it. And it's a playlist, not the show. And, you know, I'll be throwing all the tracks on there that you can listen to later, unless it's like some bootleg shit or stuff that isn't available on Spotify. But yes, that's where you can find all the music.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page. Just search Daily Zeitgeist. We have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the articles and source material that we used for today's episode. And that's going to do it for today. Miles, what are we going to ride out on?
Well, look, if we're going back to 1998, I really want to shout out the Black Star album came out that year with Talib Kweli and Mos Def. Classic album. And you know, now that we found out Cheddar Man was a brown-skinned man, what better track than Brown Skin Lady from that album? Because look, brown skin ladies are doing their thing, especially Mame Biney, the Ghanaian American speed skater. So do your thing, brown skin ladies. Do your thing, everybody, and just vibe out.
All right,
classic.
We're gonna ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
Everybody on the avenue, I know when to see it sing. There she is. Fresh of the Tony Rambo's vegetables at African street festivals where incredible women is plentiful. Over the years I met a few, none of them compared to you, preparing you to make food bearable. Something terrible, blessy, you fruitful, beautiful, smart, lovable, huggable, doable like art, suitable to be part of my life. Copper tone, oh you copyright infringement. Pay, you been this tense since way back in the day. It's like I'm standing there, you know, appreciating God's design, and then you showed up. It's like you read my mind. Damn, she's fun. I think I add the R-E in front of that and see if she D to get with a cat like me.
I like the way you walk. I like the way you walk. I like the way you walk. Yes. I like the do that. I like the way you walk. I like the walk. I like the way you walk. Please, won't you do that dance? Everybody on the avenue, I know when the city say yes, Lord of God. Everybody on the avenue, I know when the city say there she is.
Ooh, yeah, baby girl, look at you. Coming on the block looking fresh and brand new. Ooh, head wrap cover your head too. Pretty feet, big and do open toe shoe. Ooh, no limit to what I would do. Make love to you like long interview. Woo! Me say for real, me like you. Good look, champion, win the title. Show, many man try invite you. Shot down lyric each time decide you.
Come on.
Sure, what man you get born inside to? Clean the walkway and just let shit pass through.
Yes, yes.
Can't be a next one like you. Famous like tapes made by DJ Klo. I tighten up my game as I approach you. Yo, check a sheet and act to the B, get close to.
Send your friends, she's a nigga.
many compliments, but I am confident. Used to have a complex about getting too complex. You got me willing to try. Look me in the eye, my head is still in the sky. Since you walked on by, I'm feeling high. Got my imagination flickering like hot flames. That's how it seems. You make me want to ride a Coltrane to a love supreme. My brown lady creates environments for happy brown babies. Yes. I know it sounds crazy, yes, but your skin's an inspiration for cocoa butter. You provoke a brother. We should get to know one another. I discover when I bring you through, my people say true. All I can say is all praise due. I thank God for a beauty like you.
Brown skin lady.
Yes. Just cause you're the brown skin lady.
Where you going?
On the planet.
Brown skin lady.
Yes.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.